three guest missionaries coming. I'll be preaching every service but one, but they will have windows. And so we have guest missionaries coming to talk to us and visit with us out in the commons, and excited about that. And so make that a matter of prayer. The end of February is when we excel in the grace of giving. We go above our tithe and invest in missionaries around the world. And some of you know that this is my travel time as a men's director in the state of Arizona. So we should do about 2,800 miles in 2 weeks and 14 meetings. We did about 1,200 miles in 5 days and 8 meetings last week, and I felt your prayers. People are investing in missions from the reservation all the way to Mexico. I mean, it's amazing. But I said that to say this. There are missionaries that come to these meetings because they want to get to know the pastors and meet the pastors. And in the assemblies, churches gather together and send missionary pledges to each missionary. So our missionary may have 100 people supporting him so much a month. And that's what we do, especially we emphasize it the first Sunday of the month. We make an annual faith promise to give to missions so much a month, and we pool all our funds, and then we support all these missionaries around the world. And some are in the U.S. It's a really good system. It's working really well, and our missionaries can eat on the mission field. How many of you know that's a good idea? But I said all that to say this. Every time I meet a missionary, I want to make a commitment to give them money. So what I do when I meet missionaries, I keep giving more missions money away from the Rock Church, because I look at that young couple with two small kids that's willing to give everything to see souls saved in Thailand. I can't say no to that. And I'm just giving you one of many examples. So we're going to have to raise more money, and I'm getting feedback up here on the stage, more money for missions than we ever have, because I'm giving more money away. Somebody say hallelujah. And it's actually his money, but it's our money. And so I believe God is in the soul business. Should I say soul-saving business? I'd rather say God's in the soul business. And when you invest your tithe, you invest in the soul business here. And when you invest your missions offering, you invest in the soul business around the world. And because I believe God's interested in the soul business, He takes care of people that are interested in the soul business. Have an altar call. I'll throw these notes away. We're never going to get done now. But I'm excited about missions because that's why Jesus came. He came on a mission to save us. Hallelujah. Well, in the context of prayer, and we're talking about the difficulties of prayer, if you're really honest, it can be difficult sometimes, can it? And there's some of those difficulties we can remove and get out of the way. But and I'm hoping you're leaving with a nugget or two and a takeaway. But really, I felt like as I prayed late last fall over this series, it was to inspire you to pray and motivate you to pray, motivate you to spend time with God. The scripture, and I'm repeating myself even bits and pieces over the next three of the past 3 weeks, because I believe the Lord wants me to repeat it, is Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and opens the door, I will come in and fellowship with him and he with me." And if you're lost this morning and you're an unbeliever, just repent of your sins and invite Christ in, and he'll be your Savior. He's already, when you walked into this building this morning and our honor team people and the rest of us were there to greet you and love on you, that was Jesus with his arms open and knocking on the door of your heart. Today could be the best day of your life. The best day of my life was when I made Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of my life. The second best day of my life is when I married that woman right there. Glory be to Jesus. You taking notes? Men, are y'all taking notes? Woo! Oh, I'm all over the map this morning. Three levels of a compliment. Tell people when you're with them how much you appreciate them. It bumps them. It edifies them. Second, higher level of a compliment. Compliment somebody in front of others. That's why Darla got up and felt like a beast. Third level of a compliment, compliment somebody in front of others and give them something. Darla, here's the truck key. Yes. I got me a truck a few weeks ago and she thinks it's hers. Then Houston jumped in it yesterday with my keys. Now he thinks it's his. It's my truck. But Jesus is here this morning knocking. And I want to talk about it continually, about the context of prayer, fellowship with Christ. Every morning you get up, He's knocking, He's there. Are you making a daily appointment with Jesus? Because if you'll open the door, make a way, open the door of your heart and mind, get disciplined where you're sitting down with Him somewhere, sometime, every day, and you open the door, Jesus will visit all the time. And we need Him to visit. We've talked about some of the difficulties of prayer. You know, our personal relationship begins with God through Christ when we make Him Savior. So relationship with God as it pertains to salvation depends on birth. Birth. When you ask Christ in, you become born again. Jesus said in John chapter 3, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So thank God when you ask Christ in, you're going to heaven. Somebody give me an amen on that. You're one of His kids. But fellowship with God, which is really prayer. Because then you begin a journey and a relationship with Jesus. Once you invite Him in, it's not done. It's just beginning. Because you get to know Him better daily as you walk with Him. And so you have fellowship with Him like I did with Houston yesterday. We had fellowship. We went to the Man Mall, Bass Pro. Hallelujah. Go to the Man Mall, and Coulter got me a very generous Christmas gift, Bass Pro card. People said, don't get anybody a gift card. You can get me all the Bass Pro gift cards you want. So we had a good time fellowshipping, being together. And Houston and I, and the rest of my children too for that matter, are in good relationship. I love Coulter more now after Christmas than I ever have. But fellowship with God, or the quality of that relationship, depends on behavior. If you want to have a quality relationship with Christ, then you have to behave. Now, I don't have time to go back through all of it, but last week we talked about sometimes if we're not willing to deal, there's no sin God can't forgive or remove. Thank God for that. There's nothing too bad after you're saved you can do that He can't wash away. But if you refuse and you keep habitually practicing sin, it'll put a wedge in your relationship with God. In fact, we read scriptures last week said He won't even listen to your prayers. So we unpacked all last week. But what we didn't get to last week that I feel like we need to get to this week, even if I don't get done today, is that so being in right relationship with God through Christ as it pertains to prayer, which is daily fellowship with God. And we did a prayer exercise last week, and I may talk about that again this week because I got a lot of emails and calls about how good that was, even though it was very simple. But then we begin to walk with Jesus, and so I've got to be in right relationship with God. But my prayers will be hindered. My relationship with God also will be hindered if I'm not in right relationship with others. With people. You say, well, I don't like them. They hurt me. I'm angry at them. I'll never forgive them. But you know, when Jesus comes knocking, I'll ask Him in. The scripture's real clear that you may think your relationship is okay with Christ and that it's just flowing. But if your heart's not right with others, your heart's not right with God. And if your heart's not right with others and your heart's not right with God, then your fellowship is not a very quality time, which I believe when it's not, that's why a lot of people don't pray, because they're not willing to get right with God and get right with other people. I've had people tell me I'll burn in hell before they'll give them. And very kindly, I said, please, Let God work in your heart, because you will burn in hell if you don't forgive. Because Jesus was very, very clear about that. He said, if you don't forgive others, he won't forgive you. Matthew 6 and 15. So we need to remove these difficulties. Jesus can remove these difficulties. It's hard when you've been victimized or you've been hurt. It's hard to forgive. It's hard to let go. It's hard. But Jesus can do all things. Nothing's impossible with God. And that person that hurt you, it's killing you. It may not even be bothering them. But most importantly, it's hindering your relationship with Jesus. It's hindering your prayer life. You can't badmouth people all the time and talk down about people and think it's okay in prayer. I want to be intimate with Him, don't you? I want to be connected. I want to experience Jesus. And I don't want anything to come between me and Him. Can I get an amen on that? Golly, it's way too much. It's 3 weeks worth of stuff. Again, Jesus said, but if you do not forgive others their sins, my Father will not forgive your sins. If you're here today, Jesus can help you take care of that. And I will guarantee you, your prayer life and your relationship with Him will be better than it's been in a long time. Look, you say, well, I'll invite Christ in. Well, I'm going to try to explain this. I've been thinking through this for 2 weeks. How can I make this real? Because some of you are still sitting there thinking, well, I'm right with God. I may not be right with three or four other people, this and my past, this, what happened yesterday, but I'm still... Look, if Jesus came in here and sit down, and you know, if people have just abandoned you, and we've all been abandoned, right? People take off, they don't say goodbye, always says goodbyes are good. We can disagree. We can even disagree in part ways sometimes. That's okay, but we don't need to let it get in our heart. It gets in our heart. It gets in our prayers. And it will affect, correction, it will infect your relationship with God. You say, well, I can't do anything about that. All you can do is do your part. We're free moral agents. They're going to show up at the funerals anyway. They're going to show up at the weddings anyway. You ever gone to a wedding? You know, oh gosh, so-and-so's coming. Oh, God, I know they're going to be there. I know they're going to be there. And you sit on one side of the room and they come in and sit on the other side and they walk in. No, am I? I know they're going to be at that funeral. After all, it's his son. But I don't want to see him. That boy hurt me. I got to go because I love his daddy. His son will be there. What will I do? Well, I won't eat with him. Maybe I'll get in and get out. You say, Jesus, go with me. Are y'all catching what I'm saying? We need to make things right with people. And if they're right, you'll quit dog-mouthing them all the time. Talking them down, speaking them down, being critical everywhere you go. If you want to walk in quality relationship with Jesus. Jesus still forgives. Jesus still restores. If Tyler got mad at me, and she never has that I know of, but if we did, we'd make it right. And if I didn't get right, at least you made it right. Or if you said, no, Pastor, I'll never talk to you again. Well, at least I tried. I tried, Alex. I'm sorry. I still love you, but I can't get her to love. No. We're good. But you know, Tyler, you're angry and it'll never be right again. But Jesus is here and whew, it sure is uncomfortable. I'd be okay to talk to Jesus if Tyler wasn't here. Tyler, you're messing everything up. Oh, yeah. It's important to be right with God, and sin separates us from God, and sin separates us from people. I've done a bazillion funerals, I can't count them, with believers and unbelievers, and every time at the end, there's only two things that matter, church: our relationship with God and our relationship with people. And it's so tangible when folks pass away. Okay. That's for later, maybe. So let's get right with people, right? Right? I know the enemy doesn't like that message. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. We love you, Jesus. There's some here that need to know you, I know. And they need to know how much you love them. And as your sons and daughters, I know that you love us. But Lord, I couldn't preach enough. I couldn't teach enough. I couldn't say enough. I couldn't read enough scriptures. Lord, I'm asking for an inside healing. Lord, there's relationships in our life that are hindered, to say the least. And some are even worse than that. But Lord, we don't want anything to become between you and I, you and us. So touch our hearts today, Holy Spirit, in a way to remove that difficulty. The scripture even says that if you got an issue with your wife and you don't get that resolved, that it'll hinder your prayers. That's in 1 Peter. Anyway, move on. Say, move on. Say, please move on. Matthew 6:6 says this, and let's pull it up real quick. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So sometimes it's just a loss of focus. There's corporate prayer meetings that are scriptural. There's private prayer meetings. I'm talking this morning about your private time with God. It's a time to focus on God. Amen. Look, Mark, if you come and visit me and I owe you a lunch. I didn't, but now I do because I committed to it. One of these days you and I are going to have lunch. And you know what? You and I are going to talk and keep getting to know one another. And I'm going to look you in the eye and you're going to look me in the eye. And we'll laugh about some things and we'll share history. And I'm just using this to illustrate. I won't be doing this. Don't worry, Jay, the Chiefs don't play till 1 o'clock. We've got to focus on the visitor. The visitor is Jesus. Does it bother you when you're visiting with somebody and forget the phone? We did it before the phones. People aren't listening to you. They're not looking you in the eye. They're not receiving what you're saying. And they have to ask you three times. Now, what did you say? Because they're distracted. Look, you've got to get closed in with Jesus. That's why I say it's good if you drive and pray, but it's not enough. We all need to drive and pray. Can I get an amen on that in this city? It's not enough. It takes too much focus to really be intimate with Jesus. It's got to be about Jesus. I've got to focus on Jesus. I've got to visit with Jesus. Loss of focus, we're busy. And I'm telling you, and I'm laughing, and we know it's true. But don't throw the younger generation under the bus. Y'all been losing your focus for a long time. I had to throw that in because I'm working with the young adults now, and they'll love me for that comment. Focus. 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 But I really did. Y'all know what I get up every morning. The first thing I do is I keep my appointment with God. I found myself some time ago wanting to check a few emails first. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Next thing I know, my visit with God, it's time to go to work, and God and I were visiting, but I spent time looking at my email. And dear Lord, don't go to Fox News in the morning. Yeah. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Exodus 21 and 6 said, "And God spoke all these words, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my command." First and second commandment, I believe we can use it in prayer. I believe we can use it to learn how to have prayer, how to visit with God, is one, and it's still, I'm still on this point of focus, focus on Him. But let me, and I'm going to give you a little more balance. So many times, even when we're faithful to pray, we're focused on the prayer list. And I think sometimes the prayer list can become our idol. Now, we learned last week there's a time of adoration. That's when you're seeking His face. And we did it. We actually practice it here. There's a time of confession, ongoing and daily cleansing. We practice it last week. That's the way to seek His face and visit with Him and be with Him. There's another time of thanksgiving. If the Leticia has me over and cooks me a good meal, part of our fellowship, I'll be telling her how good that meal was and how much I appreciate. Thanksgiving is a way that we seek the face of God. And then, A-C-T-S, S is the supplication piece. It's the list, and the list is okay, and the list is ongoing, and there's a time to intercede for others and to pray for others and keep carrying that list before God. But so many times we get up. And, Tim, you and I have been visiting a long time. Over 20 years we've visited on a regular basis. A lot of that has been about ministry. Almost every time you sit down with me or I sit down with you, we just flat out visit it first. How's the family doing? How's Marcia? How's the kids? What's going on with your mom? And Tim with me. I didn't sit down, Tim, and say, Tim, let's eat breakfast now. We got to do this. We need to do that. We've got to make that adjustment. And by the way, but we do that with God. And I'm visiting with the list. And I want to visit with Jesus. I want to know Him. I want to see Him. I want to understand Him. I want to unpack with Him. Confession just isn't your sins. It's unpacking your deepest need. Doesn't everybody need a friend like that? A friend they can tell everything. What a friend we have in Jesus. Let's spend more time visiting with Jesus and then go ahead and get to the list. But the Scripture tells me He already knows what you need. And if you'll visit with Him, you'll be surprised how often He meets your needs. I want you to know Him. He knows you. He wants to know us. Knock, knock, knock. Are you going to open the door, that daily knock or doorbell, when He comes to your door, when He comes to your heart, when He comes to your mind? Are you just going to run off and be busy? Start with 5 minutes. I taught you how to visit with Him for 5 minutes last week. Don't let your prayer list become an idol. Don't let your relationship with God grow dull. Or you can have the wrong motive. James 4, 2 and 3 says this. You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Wrong motive. The list can be an idol. Look, don't lose your balance on me today. The list is okay. There's just more to knowing Jesus than bringing the list to Him every day. I'm not on you. I'm just trying to encourage you. I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to give you a balance. Please don't quit praying your list. But let your motive be to visit with Him first. To be with Him first. And then you can bring need to Him. Seek His face and not His hands. And I've tried to explain that term because we use it in the church and people go, what does that mean? And so for two or three weeks I've been trying to explain. Just visit with Jesus. Open His Word. Read His Word. When you open it, say, Lord, speak to me today. And He does every time just because it's His Word. It may not feel feely, but it's His Word. John 2 and 1, and you may remember this story. It's a wedding in Cana. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and His disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to Him, they have no more wine. Woman, why do you involve me? If I call my mother woman, that's called the fly swat. Jesus can get away with it. Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied. My hour, Caleb, don't you go call him, Pastor. You're a woman. You're not too big to spank. Kid's about 6'6". Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied. My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. That's kind of funny, but let's keep reading. Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to His servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then He told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned to wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then He called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best to now or to last. I'm not teaching about that today, but it does as it pertains to our prayer life. And I want to use this scripture in the context of prayer because Mary had a need. She went to the Lord. But I found that over the years, Jesus always saves the best to the last. You think it was good, and he just keeps getting better. Can I get an amen on that? That's just a side note. So when you walk with me now, when you do bring Him the list, how do you bring it? A-C-T, face, S, supplication, list. Well, then, Pastor, you seem to kind of rail on the list thing. No, I didn't. I said, we need it. How do you do it? Well, first it says she came to Him. So first, and I'll move on this quick, you just got to go to Him. You've got to take your needs or somebody's needs to Him. You've got to show up. Look to your neighbor and say, show up. And then she told them what they lacked. Right? You see that in the text? She told them what was lacking. It's okay for you to share a prayer need because there's a lack. We're believing for something, right? We're believing for something or somebody or provision or open doors or job opportunities or healing or salvations. All the things that we put on the prayer list that need to be on the prayer list. She told them what they lacked. What she did not tell him, and that you can't find it, is what to do and when to do it. I'm glad somebody likes that. She simply told them what they lacked. And then, number 3, she left it with Jesus. That's how you take needs to the Lord. Lord, this particular friend is lost. Save his soul. And however the Spirit leads you. Lord, send me over there. Provide for me a plane ticket and I'll get on the plane. And then Lord, in Jesus' name, get me there safe. And in Jesus' name, put an anointing on me so I can share the gospel with him. And in Jesus', What Mary didn't say is they're out of wine. And by the way, Jesus, in Jesus' name, what I think you ought to do is those water jars over there are empty anyway. There's no water in them. But I command in the name of Jesus that you send somebody down. The water source was actually quite a far. It may take a while, but in Jesus' name, put it on somebody's heart to get up and go down there and get water and bring back water. But if that doesn't work, Lord, your will be done. They're selling wine downtown on the other side of the village. Provide finance, Lord. I know you'll provide finance for somebody to buy wine from that guy on the other side of town. Oh, you're going to have to touch his heart, Lord. He doesn't like to sell his wine. We have a tendency to take the need, the list to the Lord, and then demand and command Him to do it our way. Why not let it? And then here's what happens. He answers, but you don't know it because He didn't do it your way. Lord, I thought I prayed that you'd get raise somebody to take a hike. I thought somebody would be provisioned. The whole time, the wine was in the jug. If you hear what I'm saying. Take your needs. We're all needy. We all have needs this morning. Adore Him. Fellowship with Him. Confess your sins to Him. Give Him your deepest thoughts. Thank Him and be gracious with Him. And then make a list as long as the United States of America. But take that list. Take that need to the Lord and leave it there. And trust Him to answer prayer His way. I got a little excited. That's kind of how we do it. And then last but not least, you've got to keep practicing prayer and persevering in prayer. Luke 18, 1 through 8. Let's see if we can read a few more scriptures this morning. That last word is a good word. Because we can trust Him with our prayer needs. And we don't need to tell Him how. Maybe some of us are so used to telling everybody what to do that we do the same with Jesus. I wasn't going to say it. I swear I wasn't going to say it. I wouldn't go say it, Rick. Not that you do. I mean, you're just with me. Maybe some of you are so in control, you just want to be in control all the time. Gosh, I'm getting on digging deep. Will y'all shake my hand when I leave? Wait, where were we? Scripture. Even I meddle for 5 or 10 seconds every so often. Then Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about what people thought. This guy don't care. There was a widow in that town who kept coming to Him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time He refused. I don't have time to teach it. Sometimes the Lord will postpone. There's always reasons. But finally, maybe He wants to see if you'll keep visiting with Him. I don't know. But finally He said to Himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think," he admitted it, "yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God," say God, "bring about justice for His chosen ones who cry out to Him day and night? Will He keep putting them off?" Speaking of our prayers in Christ. I tell you, He will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? So one, we need to stay washed in the blood. Two, we need to be right relationship with others. Three, we need to keep our focus. Four, we need to make sure our heart's motive is always pure. Always. But five, you got to stay in the game. Can I say it that way? You've got to keep going. You've got to keep praying. Anything, look, We're saved by grace. His grace is sufficient. His power is made perfect in my weakness. But Jesus is not going to pick me up. If I don't open that door when he's knocking for me to prayer, he's not barging in. I've got to meet. Look, why? Meet with Jesus every day. Practice prayer. Practice perseverance. She kept coming. She kept coming. She kept knocking. She kept asking. She come day after day after day after day after day. Prayer is a discipline. Having a relationship with Jesus Christ takes time, just like it does with anybody else or anything else. The real principle there is not that she asks the same thing over and over, and I don't think I'm going to get time. Sometimes it's okay to ask the same thing over and over. Sometimes it's not. But she kept coming every day. That's the deeper principle here. And she got justice. And her prayers were answered. You got to keep coming. You get up every day. Water goes on the automatic water filler. Coffee. Water full. 8 to 10 ounces. Coffee's done. Go. Sit by the fireplace. Drink coffee. Visit with Jesus. Get up the next day. Get up the next day. Maybe at noon, maybe at night, maybe all three. If you want to have a quality relationship with Christ and answer prayer, you've got to be consistent in your prayer life. You've got to go. There's a thing, actually it's in anything called muscle memory. And I'm still getting a little ringed here. If you do something the right way long enough, your mind and your muscles do it automatically. Has most of y'all heard of muscle memory? Yeah, I relate a lot of things to sports. I try not to talk about sports all the time because everybody doesn't relate. But you're a musician, there's muscle memory. Your fingers know where to go. When you first started, it was, right? How many musicians in the house? When you first started with a guitar, or Alex with the drums. I remember when Alex couldn't play the drums very well. We loved him anyway. He's about that tall. Now he's one of the best drummers anywhere, any place, any time. But it's because you don't even think, Alex, about what you're doing up there, son. When you first started, you had to think about it. Then you had to get somebody to teach you to do it the right way. But you trained yourself so consistently and so often. I mean, you watch Alex. When he's playing the drums, he's the happiest worshiper at the Rock Church. He doesn't even have to think. When I taught boys Little League, we spent a lot of time on the tee. Because if I could teach them the fundamentals on how to swing, and I could teach them to do it the right way over and over, when they got up to the plate, they'd do it the right way. Professional baseball players still knock so many hundred balls, a lot of them off the tees, every day to continue to hone their muscle memory. We need prayer memory. We need to do it so consistently and so often and so persistent, we just get up and do it whenever that time is, whenever that appointment is, because Jesus is always knocking. Jesus always wants to visit. Are you going to make an appointment with him? Are you going to persist? Oh, when times are tough, when times are good, when your work schedule is so flooded and your ministry schedule, you don't know what to do. Make time for Jesus. He hasn't answered yet. Get up and pray again. He hasn't saved so-and-so yet. Get up and pray again. My mama not saved yet. Get up and pray again. Get up, get up, get up, and get some prayer memory about you. It's just normal. It's just habit. And it's good. Some of y'all are there and I felt a check. Well, I'm saved anyway by God. It doesn't matter if I ever pray. You're right. You're saved to the bone. It won't matter if you never say a prayer, but you'll miss so much with your relationship with Christ. And you're fooling yourself if you think your relationship with Christ is not challenging your salvation. Unless you're not saved, Jesus is here to save you. But I'm challenging your relationship with the precious Savior, Jesus Christ. He died for me. He gave His life for me. He spilled His blood for me. He saved my marriage. He gave me kids. He put a roof over my head. He called me, and I love the ministry. Don't let anybody fool you. Somebody in my office today said, I'm starting to cry. I never cried before. He said, that's not me. I said, yeah, that's you. That's you. God's working in your heart. He's tenderizing your heart. We need prayer memory. So this is just something we do. And then there's times to move on. Remember Moses being at the Red Sea? And they're having a prayer meeting. Remember that? And then the Lord said to Moses, Exodus 14, 15, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Like, in other words, hey, Moses, I'm answering. Now it's time to get up and move. There's a time to adore. There's a time to confess. There's a time to talk and listen to God. There's a time to be gracious. There's a time to be thankful. And then there's a time to get with your... Every day you should be on your list. There should be people and situations you're interceding for. Every day as you go to God and focus on God. And sometimes God will say, you know what? You can take that off the list. Lord, yeah, but you haven't answered yet. Yeah, but you can take it off the list. I got it now. And that's a lot to balance, isn't it? See, people get in different camps. I prayed it once. I'll never pray it again. That's not faith. Well, that's not a balanced teaching of Scripture. Because this woman went over and over and over and over. With the same need. Now, what she didn't do, she didn't tell the judge how to do it. She just kept going. Have people say, I prayed it once. That's good enough. I got faith, and I claim it. And I say, well, what about the widow and the unjust judge? She went a long time every day. No. So how do I know when to keep coming? How do I know when God has released it? I'm like Moses. He's saying, boy, get up. Your deliverance is right in front of you. But if you sit there and pray about this very much longer, you're just wasting your time. Don't you think that's hard to balance all that out sometimes? Get up, son. You can pray it 10 more times. I've already answered the season. Get your staff. Oh, that stick in the water. You got to get up. You got to walk. You got to believe. How do you know? I'm going to tell you, how do you know? You have to spend time with Jesus on a regular basis. You have to visit with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords all the time, consistently. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll know when to knock and knock and knock. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll know when the victory's there. You'll know. Because the quality of your relationship is based on the time you spend and or your behaviors. I close with this story. I'm just trying to be obedient. Give me a few more minutes. Because when I prayed over this message the last 3 weeks, the Lord seemed to emphasize removing those difficulties. Removing those sins that we've kept in our heart
And I had a prophetic word given to me today along those lines. But what he really seemed to emphasize is to get right with others. And more than anything inside the church is that issue. It's outside the church too. Let's don't be too hard on the church. And as I prayed, it seemed like the Lord impressed upon me that we need to make things right. As the Scripture says, as far as it depends on us. And in the context of my relationship with Christ, y'all remember the story back in 2007, New Life Church in Colorado Springs. They'd already been through a very difficult situation with their lead pastor, who was a national name, who had taken a moral fall. And that church was beat to a pulp. It was the same year, and the new pastor was there, that a young man had gone to Youth with a Mission, and I wrote it down, shot two, killed two and wounded two, and then showed up at the church and wounded two and shot three dead. Can you imagine in this church those two things happening all in the same year? It's the young man was just a young guy. His name was Matthew Murray, who murdered all those people, who killed all those people and wounded all those people. He had been raised, his parents were Christians to the bone. His parents loved the Lord. Not sure what happened there. No need to. Some may never know. Well, Brady Boyd then was the one that followed Ted Haggard there. And as he prayed, the Lord seemed to put on his heart to ask Matthew Murray's parents to come to the property to see where all the slaughter took place. And so he was very delicate about that. But he felt that they might want to take the opportunity to see that tragedy. And in fact, these folks said, and you can tell, they said they'd been wanting to come. They really, it was going to help them with some finality. Because you remember, Matthew got shot and then finished himself off. They said, you know, they would love to have come. They had been thinking to come. This happened several months later. But they didn't want to come and cause trouble with the other folks of the church. So they were concerned about others. Their son killed brothers and sisters in that church. And so they refrained. And the pastor reached out to them. And as they were meeting, and he was testing this along the way, he said, would you like... So Murray's parents come. And then he said, would you like to meet with the victim's family? I believe it was two little girls that got killed. They were sisters. He said, would you like to meet with the... And he had already asked the Works, if these folks are willing, are you willing to meet with them? Well, they were the Works. And the Works said, yes, we would love to meet the Murrays. They wanted to meet... Y'all with me? Am I... Murrays are the killer's parents. The Works are the ones that got killed. Parents. They met in the office. You know, the first thing they did, they were all Christians. When the pastor introduced them, they walked across the room and they just began to hug each other and pray and cry. They prayed and they cried. The pastor would say, don't know how long. Now, there was a safety person named Gene, Assam, the security guard who shot Murray. And after she shot Murray, he shot himself, but he was mortally wounded. By permission, the pastor invited the security guard there, the permission of the Murrays and the Works. He invites the shooter, the security person there, the one that shot their son, and the one that shot the daughters. All the players are in the room. Because, if some of our safety guys ever have to shoot anybody, they won't feel good about it. This security guard, no telling how many, because she did take him out, how many lives she saved, but she carried deep guilt. The Murrays, the shooter's father, were the first to get to this lady. And they wrapped their arms around her and said, "We love you. We don't have any ought against you. You did what you have to do. You saved many lives." Please know that we're sorry you had to do what you had to do. That pastor would go on to say that it was one of the greatest, if not the greatest, times of redemption, restoration, and forgiveness and manifestation of love that he had ever seen. We need to make things right with God and with others this morning. In this story, the victims apologized. Now, you may have been a victim, and we've all been a victim to some degree in some way, some worse than others. Or you may feel like you've been a victim this morning. But if you keep it in your heart, it'll kill you. It is killing you. And we need to make things right this morning. With God, with people. Not a hallelujah shouting message, but it has the potential to be healing. There's somebody on my heart. Scripture says if you're at the altar and somebody has aught against you, you should get up from the altar, prayer. And as far as it depends on you, make things right. If I've ever done anything here to hurt any of you, I'm sorry. I don't know of anybody right now. But I would never do anything to intentionally hurt you. There's somebody out and about been the last year really critical of our church, telling false stories about our church, saying false things, bad things. And the Lord put him on my heart this week. And I'm just going to try to find him out there. First say, "Hey, man, if I've ever done anything to hurt you, please tell me what it is, but I'm sorry in advance." Now, this particular guy, he may just keep slandering us until Jesus comes. I don't know. I know he's angry. He's hurt. Not by anybody here. He's been a hurt, angry man for 30 years. Not anybody here either. But I know that I have to do my part and take the need to God and leave it with Him. Will you stand with me this morning? It's long.